Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Open your Bible to Luke chapter 1 this morning. We are on part 3 of our Christmas series, What Christmas Means to Me. In the video clip that you just saw, several people mentioned the themes that we've been talking about the past few weeks. You heard about the theme of happiness. It's a time for happiness and for joy. It's a time for the home, for family, for togetherness. And those are some of the themes we've talked about. One of the ladies in there talked about Christmas is a time of serving other people, of giving, of goodwill, and helping people out. You know, that reminds me of what the angels said to the shepherds on the night that Christ was born. You know, they said, I bring good tidings of great news. They talked about of peace and goodwill on earth to men. And that goodwill, that sense of serving, of helping, of giving, and that's part of what Christmas is about. You know, how many have seen a Salvation Army bell ringer? Yeah, you can't miss them. And it's a time of goodwill, of helping other people out. Some people have given to our food pantry so that we can help touch people. And also part of that is a time of peace. Christmas is a time of peace. A lot of times people think of, let's put down the things that we're fighting about and let's try to get back together and make this a time of peace. And that's what God wants. God wants to bring peace to us. But here's the thing, peace is not the absence of conflict, okay? Peace is not everything's perfect on the outside. Peace is more a circumstance of our heart. And when Jesus came to the earth, and the angel said, I bring you good tidings of great news, and it's peace on earth, goodwill to men, you have to realize it was not a peaceful time in the land of Israel. Because Israel was under Roman occupation. They were part of the Roman Empire, and the centurions roamed throughout the land. They could force you to carry their backpack a mile. They conscripted taxes from people, and it was a time of unrest. It was a time that was unsettling. There was no peace. So for the shepherds to hear, here's peace, it was like, this is very unusual. They lived in a chaotic world. Just like today, you and I, we live in a chaotic world. We live in a world that's full of fighting and unrest. People are looking for peace, and they're turning to many different things. People get into relaxation, into Zen, into meditation, into feng shui and decorating their house because they want to have this balance. They want to have positive energy. They want to have inner peace. People are looking for peace and harmony in their relationships. Where do they turn to? eHarmony.com. Why? Because I'm going to find this person who's my perfect match so that we don't fight, so that we get along. Right? We're looking for peace in all arenas of our lives. Peace is a cry of the human heart. It's a cry of the human heart. This last week was the series, the season finale of The Voice. And one of the gentlemen, who's one of the singers on there, Matt McAndrews, sang a song, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I don't know if you saw it, but it was a very soothing, beautiful song. And when he was finished, Matt's coach, Adam Levine, made this comment. He said, there's so much chaos and so many things in the world to distract us. At the end of the day, I felt honesty like the whole world just paused for a second just to enjoy something that was so pure and just so simple, bittersweet, and perfect. Adam was saying, we're looking for peace. We're filled with chaos. And this was a time of peace when you sang. Friends, there is a lot more to peace than Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I don't know about you, but Somewhere Over the Rainbow just doesn't quite cut it for me. Jesus came to give us peace. That's why he came to the earth. On earth, peace and goodwill toward men. Now, 9 months before that happened, 9 months before the angels came and announced the birth of Jesus, the angel Gabriel came to Mary. And he said to Mary that you have been chosen to be the mother of the Christ, the mother of the Messiah, and you will deliver on this promise of peace to the earth. And when I say deliver, I mean deliver in the literal sense, okay? She was going to deliver on this. And when Mary hears this announcement, she's afraid at first. Let's take a look at our text, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph." Betrothed means engaged, in a heavy sort of way, okay? Our engagement today is, you know, you can break an engagement and, you know, the relationship is done. Back in Bible times, when you were engaged, for you to break the engagement, you needed to get an actual divorce. Being engaged in Bible times was like being seen as being married. However, there was not that physical contact. You got betrothed, the potential groom would go away, get the house ready, come back and get his bride, and then they would get married. That's what betrothed means. And so a virgin was betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." The fear didn't last. She had peace. Now, why did she have peace? Because listen to the next part. The angel says, "You're going to become pregnant." In verse 31, "You will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." Verse 34, "Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I don't know a man?' The angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" Back in the time when Mary lived, in New Testament times, if you were an unmarried pregnant lady, that was not a very peaceful situation. Because for her, this could ruin her marriage. If she allows herself to be the mother of Christ, the mother of God, then she is risking her impending marriage to Joseph. She's also risking her reputation and future, because in those days, if you had a child outside of marriage, no one is going to want to touch you with a 10-foot pole. You're ruining your chance at your future relationship with anyone. And then the third thing is she's risking her life, because you could be stoned to death for committing adultery. And pregnancy was definite proof of infidelity. And so Mary, these words that should have caused fear and anxiety did not. She had peace in her life. The announcement that you're going to be the mother of the Son of God brought peace to her. Now, there are some of you here today, maybe this is your first time in church or your first time in a long time. You don't typically go to church. And you're sitting here thinking, "Craig, when you say that Mary was the mother of the Son of God, she gave birth to the Son of God, you're crazy. That's ridiculous." And you know what? I admit, that does seem a little far-fetched, okay? How many of you, if your daughter came to you and said, "An angel came to me and said, I'm going to be pregnant with the Son of God," how many would say, "Okay, yep, I believe you"? Little hard to swallow. But here's the thing. Jesus really is the Son of God. How do we know that? Look at his life. He did miracles. He healed people. He raised people from the dead. Look at his own life. He died and he rose from the dead. I mean, he did all of these things. Aren't those the kind of things you would expect if someone was the Son of God? Supernatural, miraculous things. Jesus even admitted that he was the Son of God. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 63. The priests have him on trial, and the high priest says, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And what did Jesus reply? He said, it is as you said. Jesus claimed to be God's Son. And so Jesus was the Son of God, and he came to earth. And when Mary received that announcement, she had peace. How could she have peace when she was risking so much? I want you to take a look at your bulletins this morning. On the back is your sermon section, and it says, how can we have peace in our lives? I'm going to share with you four keys, four steps to having peace in our lives this morning. If you're taking notes, point number one, slow down our pace. Slow down the pace of our life that we're living at. We live at such a fast pace. We race here, we race there, trying to do more, accomplish more. We try to acquire more time-saving devices. How many have a smartphone? So that you can keep up with your emails and you can make phone calls on the road. What did we do 15 years ago when there were no cell phones? We had to wait till we got somewhere with a physical phone. But you know now, those phones, they save us so much time. How many have microwaves? How many use them 90% of the week to make meals? No, don't raise your hand on that one. I saw one husband look at his wife like, that's you, dear. How many have remotes? Why do we have remotes? Because it saves time. You don't have to get up and turn the channel. Remember those days? No remotes? This younger generation, my kids are going, huh? What are you talking about, man? We've always had remotes. We have so many time-saving devices to get more stuff done. And what we're doing is we're speeding up life, racing at 120 miles an hour to get more and more and more done. And when we live at that pace, we don't have peace. We need to slow down the pace of our life if we're going to have peace. I think some of us are so busy that if an angel appeared to us to give us a message, we'd be so busy we'd just ignore him and not even realize he had something to say. We need to slow down. Jesus shares a story about two women, one who lived at a good pace, one who was rushed and hurrying. You can find it in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Luke records this story of two sisters. It says, it happened as they, the disciples, went that he, Jesus, entered a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. In other words, Martha was busy. She approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Busyness, being in a rush to do, steals the peace. She was worried and troubled because of the pace of life she had. And during the Christmas season, it is really easy to notch up the pace of life in our lives. I mean, we have trees and decorations that we need to put up, don't we? Trees and decorations. And we have Christmas concerts to attend and Christmas parties to attend. There's also presents to buy for those parties, those gifts that everyone gets, and then we throw them away because they're just kind of junk anyway. You know what I'm talking about? There's goodies to make for that party. And then there's also the goodies and the special foods to make for our family, for our friends, and for our neighbors as we take them around. We also have to buy presents and wrap the presents for our family and our friends. And then those Christmas letters. How many have your Christmas letters out? Not very many of you. A few of you do. Hey, you have 4 days. 4 days to get those to the post office. And there's so much we have to do. Getting the house ready for company to come. Or getting packed. We're just cramming. You know, life is busy. And the holidays can steal our peace. slow down the pace of your life. Now, that doesn't mean you do nothing, okay? We need to be busy. Idle hands are the workshop of the devil. I remember hearing that saying growing up. We need to be busy doing good things. But if the pace of your life, if the routine of your life is you're just going, 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 then you're setting yourself up to not have peace and even to probably have problems with your health emotionally or physically. Slow down the pace of life. Mary was going at a pace that when the angel spoke to her, she could hear and she received what he had to say. Let's move on. In your notes, number two, the second step to having peace in our life is power. It's power. Know that God is all-powerful. Realize that God is all-powerful. Gabriel, the angel, told Mary about a supernatural miracle that happened with Elizabeth, who was Mary's cousin. Elizabeth had been barren. She had no kids. She and her husband Zacharias wanted children for years. They're old. They're beyond childbearing years. Elizabeth can't have a child anymore. And she had given up. But in verse 36, the angel tells Mary, "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Friends, when you know that all things are possible with God, when you know that God has the power to handle any circumstance, any situation thrown at you, then you have peace. If you feel, "God can't handle my mess," that's what causes anxiety. But if you're convinced of the power of God, it produces peace in your life. God is all-powerful. All things are possible with him. Turn to your neighbor and say, "All things are possible." Nothing is too difficult for him. Jim Cimbala, who is the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, when he first started in ministry, Brooklyn Tabernacle was his very first church. He and his wife were just new in ministry. They were very young, and they tell the story that their goal was to open up the church on Christmas Eve and have their first service on Christmas Eve. And the church was in really rundown condition, really bad. And they had been working on, you know, cleaning things up and scrubbing it up and repairing the pews and just making things nice. And things were going great. It was fantastic. But 4 days before Christmas Eve, there was a huge storm that came in, a rainstorm, and there was a leak in the building, and it ran down, and up on the wall behind the pulpit, it made the plaster wet, and it fell off the wall, and it was just a huge mess, about 8 feet by 20 feet, a horrible mess, and they're thinking, "Man, what are we going to do? We're going to have to, you know, cancel the service. It's our opening service." And Jim's really discouraged. He's going, "God, what's going on?" He's walking home, and as he does, he walks past this store, and he sees this large embroidered tablecloth, just exquisitely made, and he says it's beautiful, and he thinks this is going to be the perfect size. I could maybe hang it up and cover this big gaping hole that's exposed on the wall. And so he buys it, and he's heading back to the church. And when he gets back to the church, there's a lady who's standing out in the cold, an older lady. She just missed the bus, and she was going to have to wait 45 minutes to the next one. He says, "Hey, come on inside. Wait inside the church." So she sits down on the back of the church waiting for the bus. And Jim goes and he gets a ladder and some things to hang it with, and he puts this tapestry up, and it covers the hole perfectly. This older lady, as Jim turns around, he realizes that she has walked from the back of the church to the front of the church, and she said, "Could you look and see if the initials EGB are written on the bottom right-hand side, if they're embroidered there?" Sure enough, they were. He says, "How did you know?" And he says, "Because 35 years ago, my husband and I, we lived in Austria. We were very well-to-do. And I embroidered that tablecloth. I made that for our home. And the Nazis invaded, and my husband said, you need to get out of here. I'll come in a week. But he was captured by the Nazis, thrown into a prison camp, and we never saw each other again. And it was just so, you know, for her to see that tablecloth was just so meaningful. And he says, I want you to have this. You need to have this back. She says, no, I want the church to have it. You keep it. You use it for your service. And he says, at the least I can do is I can give you a ride home. She lived on the other side of town in Staten Island. So he drove 45 minutes across town, took her home, right to her apartment, and then he went back. 4 days later, they had their Christmas Eve service, and it was a beautiful service. The music was fantastic, and just a great, great day as they kicked off their church. When the service was done and people are leaving, there was an old man who was sitting near the back, and he just sat there. And Jim goes up to him and says, hey, what's are you okay? And he was just staring at the tablecloth, and he said, that tablecloth is exactly like one that my wife made. 35 years ago, the Nazis invaded Austria. We were a well-to-do family. I sent her out, and I said I'd come a week later, and I was captured and put into a prison camp, and I haven't seen her since. And the pastor said, come with me for a ride. 45 minutes later, he pulls up to the apartment that he'd been to 4 days ago, took him up to the door and knocked on the door, and there Jim Cimbala saw the greatest Christmas reunion he ever could have imagined. Friends, all things are possible with God. It was not chance that the plaster fell off the wall. And how many of us would be saying, great God, why'd you do that? Why'd you ruin our service? I know I would have done that. That wasn't a mistake. It wasn't a mistake he found the tapestry. It wasn't a mistake she missed the bus. Man, I missed my bus. It wasn't a mistake that she saw him put it up there and that he took her home. It wasn't a mistake that the old man who lived in the neighborhood came and saw it. So many times we think, God, you're making a mistake. It's not a mistake, friends. God is all powerful. You can have peace if you realize that he is capable of taking care of everything in your life. That's step two. Step one, slow down the pace of your life. Number two, know that God is all powerful. Step number three, if you want to have peace in your life, is plan. There is a plan. Know that God has a masterful plan. God had a masterful plan for Mary. She didn't know how it would all turn out, but the Lord worked everything for good. She wasn't killed. Joseph did not divorce her. He married her. She had the baby. The shepherds came to Joseph and Mary and said that, hey, a Savior has been born today. Jesus grew up. He fulfilled God's plan of redemption. He died on the cross. He rose again, and he's sitting in heaven. It all worked out. God had a masterful plan. And it's tough to believe that when you feel like everything in your life is falling apart. It's tough to believe that God's in control and he has this plan when you've received a bad report from the doctor this week. I was just up at the hospital this last week with someone who received a bad report right before Christmas. It's tough to believe God has a plan when you've lost your job unexpectedly. When something happens to your parents or to your children, when you get that notice in the mail from something bearing bad news, it doesn't feel like a plan. It feels like God has lost control. You might not see it, but friends, God does have a plan. He is not a dummy, okay? He is a genius. You see, what good is it if God is all-powerful if he's a doofus? Because he's never going to get it right. You and I need to realize that he has a masterful plan. He is smart. He's intelligent. He's not a dummy. He knows what he's doing. There have been several times in my life when I've said, Lord, what in the world are you doing? Why is this happening? But as I look back on those, most of the times I can trace his hand and see what he's doing. I still remember the Christmas when I was in kindergarten. 2 weeks before Christmas, it was at night, we got a phone call, and the report was that the John Deere dealership, my dad was a tractor mechanic, the John Deere dealership where my dad was working, it was on fire. And I remember we all piled into the car, we drove to it, we lived in Clear Lake, South Dakota, and the building was just in a blaze, flames going up 40, 50 feet in the air. My dad lost all of his tools, everything. And I remember that they weren't going to rebuild the shop. It just wasn't going to work out. And so my dad got a temporary job 40 miles away. We finished out the school year, and then he took a position as a mechanic 150 miles in a brand new town, and we ended up moving as a first grader to Beresford, South Dakota. And as it turned out, there was a lady who lived a half a block away. Her name was Barb, and Barb was a Christian. You might call her one of those holy rollers, one of those Bible thumpers, those pew jumpers, whatever you want to say. But Barb struck up a relationship with my mom and began to invite her to church and began to share with her about Christ. And we were religious people. We went to church, but Barb talked about God as being a real person, and that it's not your goodness about going to church and doing all the good things, because we're sinners and our good works can't save us. And through the course of months, and God did a miracle in me. You talk about the all-powerful power of God. God healed me of allergies as a kid. That's how we came to know Christ. If we would have stayed in Clear Lake, we did not know anyone who was saved, who had a relationship, who was a Christ follower in Clear Lake. There was no gospel preaching church in that town for several years. But God allowed a fire to take place to move us to a town where we could hear. God had a plan. And sometimes God allows horrible, negative things in your life. Friends, things that hurt, things that are scary. But we need to rest in the promise that God has a masterful plan. It didn't seem like it at the time, but He does. And if we can slow down the pace of our life, if we can trust in the almighty power of God and His masterful plan, we are well on the way to finding peace during this Christmas season. There is one last step to having peace in our lives, and honestly, this is one where many people get hung up on. This is one that really stops, and it's to walk in God's revealed word. We need to walk in God's revealed word. Look at verse 38 back in our text. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be done according to your word." See, when Mary heard this word, "You're going to be pregnant, you're going to have a baby," what did she say? Yes. She didn't focus on the fear. She didn't think, "I could lose Joseph, I could lose my life, I could lose my future." No, she said, "Yes, let it be done to me." God spoke to her, and she received the word and allowed it to move and be part of her life. So now some of you might be saying, "Craig, how do I hear a word from God? I mean, I don't have angels showing up on my doorstep talking to me." How many have had an angel talk to you? Yeah, not very many. Some of you have. I've never had an angel. So how do we know God is talking to us? Well, a couple of ways. First of all, come to church so that you can hear the word of God. When you come to church, you can hear what God is saying, and God will impress things on your heart that, man, this is something I need for my life. Sometimes in church, I've been encouraged with a promise. Sometimes I've been kicked in the backside with a challenge. "Craig, you need to do this." Sometimes I've been convicted of sin. Sometimes I've been just encouraged and lifted up. God speaks to us when you come to church. That's how you receive a word. But a second way, and this is probably the most important one, regularly read the Bible for yourself. You want to read the Word of God because that's how God speaks to us. And He gives us things that will encourage us and challenge us and comfort us, that'll lift us up and sometimes make us feel bad, so that because he's opening up things that's junk in our lives that we need to clean out and get rid of. Be a person who regularly reads the Word of God. And when God speaks to you, when he's impressing on you, we all have a conscience. And when that conscience is being pricked, it's the Holy Spirit saying, don't do this or do this. When God is pricking your conscience, say yes to that word that he's revealing. When you ignore the promptings of the Holy Spirit, you're not going to have peace. When you're disobeying God's will, when God is trying to show you things, and you say, I don't want that, there's no way you can have peace in your life. Mary received a word that had been revealed to her. She accepted it, and she lived by it. It could have caused fear and anxiety, but she trusted in the power of God, in the plan of God, and she had peace. Did Mary know all of the details, how everything would turn out? Did Mary know both the pain and the joy that she would have if she followed God's plan? I don't think so. But you know what? Today, Mary's in heaven. She's in heaven with Jesus, and now Mary knows.
Mary, my betrothed, you have the most beautiful eyes I've ever seen, and the sweetest smile.
Don't be afraid.
I'm the Lord's servant.
Help us! Please!
Lady, I believe your son is the promised king of his people. What is his name?
His name is Jesus.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy
baptize me
has come to make you and
he's
this
here.
Child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man?
Peter,
Mary,
where's my son?
Did you know that your baby boy calm the storm with his hand? Didn't you know that your baby boy has walked where angels try? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God, of Mary.
My son.
Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again.
Come out of him.
Your baby boy is Lord of
Jesus.
All creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb?
a sleeping child you're holding is the great I am.
The Word became flesh and dwelled among us. The greatest word that God has ever revealed was the living word, His Son Jesus. Jesus came because He wanted a relationship with us. He wanted to know you and me, for us to love Him and to enjoy Him forever. But you see, we all have a problem. And that problem is that we are sinners. We've done wrong. Now, some of us might think, I'm not that bad of a person. I've never killed anyone. I've never been immoral. I'm a good person. I haven't swindled anyone. I haven't robbed a bank. But let me ask you this. How much cyanide does it take to kill a person? How much rattlesnake venom does it take to kill you? Just a little bit. Just a little bit. It doesn't take a lot. And it's just a little lying, a little bit of stealing, a little bit of jealousy, a little bit of greed, a little bit of pride, a little bit of sexual immorality, a little bit of lust. It just takes a little bit of sin to kill us. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift, very appropriate for this time of year, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, Jesus came to earth to die for my sin, to die for your sin. Because God's plan, the overarching masterful plan, is for each and every one of us to have relationship with Him, that whosoever would believe on Christ would not perish, would not die and be eternally separated from God, but have eternal life in heaven with Him. That's God's overarching plan. That's God's plan for you and for me. And this morning, I just want to pose the question, are you living in that plan that God has for you? Are you living in that plan?
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.